Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is going to be TJ Inman, hopefully. Sorry we had to cancel the other episode. There was some audio issues going on the end of our co-host, so hopefully this is figured it out. If not, we'll do another podcast at another time. So, let's try and get TJ Inman in, and we'll talk IU football offense. So the podcast, if you're listening live, we apologize for the technical difficulties. We're going to go over the Indiana offense as detailed as we possibly can. We'll start with the quarterbacks and go on from there. So here we try to get TJ Inman on again. TJ, can you hear me finally?
I can, yes, the wonderful sound of your voice coming through crystal clear. Let's go.
Awesome. All right. So offensive preview, offense is going to live and die with the play of the quarterback. Let's break down that quarterback position. TJ, I've been to a handful of practices over the last couple of weeks. There were some concerns, not concerns, but questions with Richard Lego coming in. There was no quarterback competition. I just want to make that clear. But there were things that he needed to improve upon. Could he be the leader that Nate Sudfeld was in the locker room and on the field? And then could he be productive like Nate? We know that Rich has all the tools. He has a strong arm. I believe one of the preview magazines had him as the strongest arm in the Big Ten. But can he fix his accuracy issues? Can he make better decisions and check that ball down a little bit instead of trying to force it into tight windows? And from all that I've seen at practice, especially when the Big Ten Network was there, Richard Lego is head and shoulders better than he was last year when Big Ten Network was in town. That was the best I had seen him at practice since he had been on campus. So what is your take on Lego quarterback?
Two things really stand out to me. Number one, as you said, Lego has to be better taking care of the ball. And that means that his accuracy has to improve. But, more importantly, I think you mentioned that his decision-making has to improve. He needs to do a better job of accepting that throwing the ball away or, like you said, checking down for a 5-6 yard gain and giving a playmaker a chance to maybe do something with the ball once they get it, as opposed to trying to pick up a 25-yard route across the middle, or when you get pressured, throwing off your back foot, overextending yourself, taking those risks away and doing a better job of making those decisions. For me, the second thing, and one that goes hand in hand with that, is that the system needs to cater a little bit better to him to allow him to make those decisions. Last year's offense didn't feature very many checkdowns. There weren't a lot of opportunities for him to decide, okay, it's not there 25 yards down the field. It's not there on the crossing route 20 yards down the field. They've got that covered. There's pressure coming at me. He didn't have the opportunity to duck it or to dump it down to a tight end on a delayed route after the tight end shifts on a block. He didn't have the opportunity to dump it down to a running back that had leaked out of the backfield. Those routes really were not a part of last year's offense near enough, in my opinion. I think Mike DeBoard has talked about it this offseason, that they're going to cater that a little bit more, which means more use of the tight end, more use of the running backs out of the backfield. And we'll talk about both of those positions later and how the personnel fits that really well for Indiana. So I think the junction with Lego just being more comfortable in his second year, knowing exactly what he's getting into in terms of the Big Ten competition, knowing what's required of him as a leader, just doing maturing in terms of preparation. He's spoken about all those things, but really the way that his teammates and his coaches talk about him is much different than the way it was a year ago. And I think the Lego has seized this team and this offense. It really is his. And as you said, this offense is going to rise and fall by his play. I think if he can cut those interceptions, for me, I don't think it's wise to put a number on it necessarily, but because, you know, the timing of the interception, the placement of the interception is just as important sometimes as whether or not you throw one. But I think if Richard Lego can cut down the interceptions, get those down near single digits, and not put the defense into very many bad spots where they're letting the opposing offense take over inside of IU's territory, then I think it'll be a very successful senior year for Lego, because all of the weapons are there for him to have a big senior year.
Yeah, definitely. And check the checkdowns. We heard about the quarterback-friendly system at Media Day, and we heard – Tom Allen talk about that. And I think, you know, we also heard Coach DiNardo both on with us and when he was at IU with BTN talk about the run pass options. And I think that's out of the offense now. And I really think that's going to help his decision-making being in the, only being a junior college transfer and only having 2 years to learn this offense, put him at such a disadvantage, and RPOs are, You need some time to develop those skills and to read the defenses. And Lego was just thrown into the fire immediately. And I don't think he developed those skills as much as he needed to. And that's no fault of his own. You know, that's just, you had 15 practices to get ready and then a fall camp to get ready. I think he's more set this year and taking away those RPOs, especially when Rich didn't really have the threat of running last year. Should open some more windows, and he has a ton of weapons, and we'll talk about those here in a little bit. But let's talk about our two biggest concerns. I think I could speak for you as well, were offensive line and running back. Let's start with the offensive line. Go ahead.
Real quick, I want to mention that just for, you know, we talked about this through text message last night. Not sharing state secrets here. I mean, Peyton Ramsey, clear number two, and we both feel pretty good about his ability to, at the very least, prevent a catastrophe if he has to see some snaps in 2017. And we both kind of feel like it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to somehow work Ramsey into the offense some. But I just want to let it be known that Peyton Ramsey has had himself a very nice off season and so far a very good summer camp after a good spring. So Ramsey coming along very well. So I just wanted to mention that before we move on.
Yeah, and let's get to that quarterback depth as well. I'm sorry, I'm trying to confirm whether or not IU got a commitment from a Maryland corner as the show was going on, so my mind is kind of split. We'll see. I don't know. I haven't been able to confirm it 100%, but we'll see. But the quarterback depth, You know, as you said, Peyton Ramsey has played well this spring, and he's going to be an important part. You know, you have to go into the season with a backup quarterback who you could trust to put in there just in case either Lego gets hurt or he struggles where, you know, you have another option. Hopefully neither of those things happen, but more importantly, it's for the 2018 season. You know, Rich is going to be graduating after this season, and they need somebody who can get some game experience this year, whether or not, whether it be a specific package for Ramsey or bringing him in into games that have more or less already been decided to get those right. All-important game reps. And then behind him, you know, Nick Tronti, I think, has had a very good fall camp. I don't know if he's going to be in the mix to play or if he'll take a redshirt season, but he's clearly in the mix for that number two spot. He's shown that he can make a lot of the throws as a true freshman. I think it hurt him not coming in for spring practice, but he's already jumped over Austin King, who has fallen to fourth on the depth chart. And for all intents and purposes, is out of that quarterback race. And unless something catastrophic happens, I don't see him playing in his time at IU. You know, maybe we see him transfer here to get an opportunity somewhere else to show his skills. But Nick Tronti, especially going into 2018, him and Peyton Ramsey will battle it out for that starter's role. But right now they're battling it out for that backup quarterback role. And hopefully we get to see them in a game, hopefully an IU blowout. But, you know, having that depth and getting one or both of them into a game this season is important going forward for IU. But right now it's Richard Lego's show, and he has improved tremendously. So let's go back to that that offensive line. We know Brandon Knight has been limited during camp. We'll see what his availability is for Ohio State. But right now you're looking at Delroy Baker and Coy Cronk at the two tackles, who I think you're comfortable with going in. Delroy is kind of that super sub who could play both tackle positions and both guard positions. He told us at an interview during fall camp that he could play anything but center. And then we'll see what happens if and when Brandon Knight comes back. Do they move him? Do they move him around? Do they move him to center? Do they put Delroy at guard? Because Darren Hiller said he wants his best five best linemen on the field. And then moving inside, you have Wes Martin, who is the elder statesman on that line at one of the guard positions, Simon Stepniak, who has really done a solid job at the other. And then you have Hunter Littlejohn running with that first team unit right now. And then you don't sleep on true freshman Harry Kreider. He's gotten praise from the coaching staff all fall camp in that center position. He's turned that into an open competition. And whether or not he starts opening night, I think you will see Harry Kreider at center at some point. So what's your take on the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting unit because you typically like to have a lot of experience there. What Indiana has is I think experience combined with some youth. As we know, Indiana has lost a whole lot of talent over the last few years, and you don't lose guys like Jason Spriggs and Dan Feeney without noticing. Indiana's not a program that can lose All-Americans like that and just not notice. Very few programs are in that position. But I do feel pretty good about number one. I feel really good about a couple of guys on this line, and those two are Wes Martin, who I think is a really underappreciated guy. He's played a lot of games. He has a lot of experience. Yeah, he's just a redshirt junior, but Wes Martin has a lot of it, starting and playing experience. And then Coy Kronk. I think Coy Kronk is Indiana's, you know, next great offensive lineman, if you will. Plays with a good mean streak that you'll like from a left tackle. And I think he has all the physical tools to be an NFL player when his 4 years in Indiana are done. And then you've got some question marks, to be honest. But I think that there's enough options that Indiana has of guys that were pretty well-regarded coming out of high school, guys that have contributed some already, so they're not completely green out there. Players like Delroy Baker and Simon Stepaniak, who I do think can be a really good three-year starter by the time his career's done at guard. I think that the biggest question mark is that center position and the health of Brandon Knight. Brandon Knight, if he can get back, and I'm not saying for the Ohio State game, that's a tight timeline, who knows what'll happen, but if he can get back and be 100% for the majority of the year, that gives you, in my opinion, six offensive linemen that you feel very good about, and then up to potentially eight or nine, depending on the progression of Harry Kreider and Hunter Littlejohn, that gives you eight or nine that you feel really could develop a line that, you know, I think are looking like really good future options. When you look overall at the line, I think that you like the potential that they have to be exceptional in 2018 because everybody is slated to come back, and then you're just adding more talent to it as they continue to recruit well and you're able to redshirt guys, which is definitely what you're looking for there. But for 2017, the biggest question is the health of Brandon Knight and then the development of that center position, who's going to step up and take that bull by the horns. I think it ends up being Harry Kreider. I loved his tape. I loved everything that I've heard his high school coaches say, and then I've heard Indiana's coaches say, and then we've heard about him. I think that, you know, ready-made collegers do not enter as freshmen very often. They just don't. Typically, guys that are centers have to be developed in college. Harry Kreider is a rare guy that played center exclusively in high school, and I think that benefits him greatly, being able to step in and play right away. Overall, the line for me has gone from a major concern to just a mild question mark at this point, just because you haven't seen it done in a game yet. But I still think this – I now think this can be one of the five or six best offensive lines in the Big Ten this season, and heading into next year could be one of the top two or three in the conference if everyone can stay together and keep developing.
Yeah, and you look at some of these depth guys. Devondre Love is a guy who, if healthy, he's a big body guy who could help out at tackle with that depth. And then you have Caleb Jones, who's blocks the sun when he walks by. He's the human eclipse, and he's further along than people expected. He might not play this year, but if push comes to shove and they need him, he might be thrust into playing time there. But he's a guy who, if he can clean up his technique a little bit, he might be the biggest person I've ever seen in person.
He's an NFL tackle. He's an NFL tackle if he can clean up his technique. Like you said, he's further along than people expect him to be. For those that don't know, he's from Indianapolis Lawrence North High School. He's 6'8". Who knows what he actually weighs, but he's not out of shape. I mean, he's really not. He moves pretty well for a guy that's his size. And it's a very hard worker. That's the high school that I went to, and, you know, I'm familiar with him and the guys that have coached him, and they just have great things to say about him. He has a really cool story that we profiled in his commitment piece. I'm rooting for the kid for obvious reasons, root for all these guys, but I do think that Caleb Jones, just based on his physical tools, if he develops his technique just a little bit more and continues to just improve his, you know, his strength and his footwork, that's an NFL tackle, and you've got that guy that you have the luxury of being able to redshirt possibly, and then, you know, he might play next year. He might just be a rotation contributor next year. So Indiana's offensive line is to that point now where they have guys with this kind of potential that they have the luxury of redshirting, letting them develop, and then they step in as redshirt sophomores or redshirt juniors ready to contribute. And that's where you're at. We might not know all these names yet because they've been on the bench for a couple of years getting ready, but you're going to find out that they're pretty good players. They might not be Dan Feeney, but they can be really good Big Ten offensive linemen. And I think you got some future NFL guys still on this line.
Yeah, and if this line doesn't perform, the next unit that we talk about, it doesn't matter if you have Red Grange or Eddie George or, you know, Curtis Martin or whoever else back there. If your line doesn't block well, you're not going to be running well. But let's talk about the running backs with Kameon Patrick being dealt just a bad hand. And not being able to come back from that ACL injury and getting a medical hardship waiver, it just opened questions and got you concerned. But after seeing a couple weeks of practice, I really actually like this running back group. You have Mike Majette, who's slated to be the starter, Devontae Williams, two guys who have shown flashes in the past, who, you know, they need to step up and play full-time snaps, this year. And then you have Colt Guest, who we like coming out of last year, who could get up the field. And, Ricky Brookins is a gamer. He's a guy who could give you, you know, 5 to 10 carries a game, be a solid special teams player. And it's just, he's a guy I think the coaching staff trusts. To be that leader in that running back room to teach these young guys. Craig Nelson has looked good. He's a true freshman coming in. And the guy who's turned the most heads has been Morgan Ellison. And Tyler Nattee as well has played really well. But Morgan Ellison, coming out of Ohio, he broke his leg. The right leg his sophomore year, left leg his junior year, missed a lot of time in high school, came back to have a phenomenal senior year. IU scooped him up on signing day this past February, and he's been the best back in camp that I've seen. He's looks the part of a feature back. He's 6'1", 225, get to the outside. And it's just refreshing to not see Devine Redding back there dancing behind the line of scrimmage and getting 3 or 4 yards as your feature back. You know, I like Devine. He's a good kid. He did a lot of good things for IU, but he was a better complimentary back than he was starting as a feature back. And I think this group, it is so diverse in terms of what these guys bring to the table that it's an easy group to root for. And if these guys stay healthy, they might not have that 1,000-yard back, but they'll have, you know, a couple guys getting, you know, 500-600 yards on about as half, the half amount of carries that Devine had last season. So I really like this group. What are your thoughts on the running back group, TJ?
Well, I think you said it with diversity. I think that is the name of the game for this running back unit. You have Mike Majette and Devontae Williams that are kind of the, I guess you would say, scat back types. Ideally, you get them the ball in space, get them to the outside, and they do most of their damage out there. You have Cole Guest, who is just a really powerful, explosive runner. He hits the hole very, very hard, just very quick, direct to the point. You know, it's ball one cut and go. He's not going to do any kind of dancing back there. I do have a, you know, you kind of wonder how durable can a guy his height be, but, I mean, he's really, really well built. There's no question he's in incredible shape, and he's very strong. I'm not saying, oh, he's strong for a kid his size. No, he's really strong, period. I really like Cole Guest's game and his ability. And then you have Tyler Natee, who is obviously he's a gigantic running back, and I think really gives you a lot of options in terms of what you can do in short yardage situations and in the goal line. I think he can be utilized much better than he was last year, and I hope that he is. I view him as being someone you use in short yardage, in goal line, and as a late game back. What tired defense would want to try and tackle a guy Tyler Natee's size that just looks for contact? No defense would want that. And I think he'd be really effective at just bludgeoning a worn-down defense and killing off a game. And then you mentioned the walk-on to Alex Rodriguez, Ricky Brookins. Both of them are just really good program guys. Morgan Ellison, obviously, I think is the player that, if this running game is to go from interesting to really good, Morgan Ellison needs to be ready, not necessarily right at the start of this season, but pretty early on into it. He needs to be ready to take a good portion of the carries. I'm talking, 10 to 15 carries a game, and he needs to be able to shoulder that efficiently and effectively. If he can do that, and if Morgan Ellison can step up and be kind of RB number one, he doesn't have to be a 25 carry a game guy. I don't think this team is going to have one of those, and that's fine. But if he can step up and be 10 to 15 carries of really good, effective running, averaging 4.5-5 yards a carry, I think that you will have yourself a very good running game that can be a lot more explosive than what we saw last year and create some more big plays than what we had last year in the running game. The key for me is going to be health of this group. Yes, it's very deep, but that depth can get tested real quick if you've got, Majette and Williams and Cole Guest, Morgan Ellison. All these guys that have injury histories, and I'm not saying, they're injury prone or they're weak or anything like that. It's just a very hard position, and that depth can get tested real quick.
Yeah, and you hope these guys could stay healthy. I do think, I'll disagree with you on the amount of carries. I do think you're going to need to have a back that carries the ball 15 to 20 times a game, getting that rhythm, kind of like Jordan Howard did against Michigan a couple years ago, where you just feed him the ball and everything's clicking. But you're right. I don't think it's going to be a 30-carry-a-game guy or 25-carry-a-game guy. It might be more like Tevin, where they had to limit his carries a little bit due to the fact that he was fighting a sickle cell trait and things like that, where maybe he tops out at 26 carries one game and things like that. But coming in into fall camp, I needed to see improvement in some guys in the running back group, and the guys I've been looking at: Morgan Ellison, Devontae Williams, Mike Majette, Tyler Natee coming into all the things that I needed to see. I've seen to call this a good group, and I think it is a good group. So let's move on to the tight end group. We won't forget about them because they are going to play a bigger role this year than they did last year, which doesn't say very much, but they have a really good tight end in playmaking tight end in Ian Thomas. You bring back Danny Friend, who will help when you go against teams with fronts like Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, where he could chip, also be used in the pass game. He's not as dynamic a playmaker as Ian Thomas is, but he's a guy who could chip a defensive end, go out and catch the ball, get you 10, maybe 15 yards, and really help, basically give you an extra lineman on that offensive line. And then you have Austin Doris, who's also been in the mix in practice, running with the second team most of the time. And then Ryan Watercutter has shown the ability to catch the ball as well. And then you have true freshman Peyton Hendershot and redshirt freshman Sean Bonner, who, are fighting for that fourth spot. I would be surprised to see Hendershot redshirt, but you'll see these tight ends used a lot more in Mike DeBoer's offense as that check down guy for Lego. And then in the red zone as well, you're going to see them hopefully throw the ball to the tight end a little bit more instead of running up the gut into the teeth of defenses, and maybe use this passing game to loosen up the defense in the red zone and then run from there. So that's my take on the tight ends. I really think you have a good one in Ian Thomas. I think he has potential to be an NFL pick. Hopefully he stays healthy. And then you have Austin Doris and Danny Friend, who needs to stay healthy as well to shore up that blocking game and the physicality of that position. What's your take on the tight end position?
But I mean, so much of it's unknown. We know that Danny Friend's a really good blocker and a reliable receiver. We know the capability that Ian Thomas has, although bases of other teams or even fans of IU would be forgiven for not knowing who these guys are because they were utilized so infrequently under Kevin Wilson. So I'm excited to see them be able to get involved in the passing game. We called for it all last year. And, I'm not suggesting that we should be listened to, but to us, it just seemed like you're having red zone issues, you're having problems converting on third downs. Why don't you use these guys? And it just never happened. Ian Thomas, I think, is a guy that can be a really good weapon. The question marks for me come after the first three, because I think Austin Doris can be a very solid player, will be a very solid player as well. You do need three, contributing tight ends. What happens if one of those guys get there? Is anyone else ready just yet to step up into that role? So, like you said, health for this unit is going to be a pretty big deal, as it's not the deepest, certainly not the deepest on the squad. So that's my biggest concern for them, but I'm just excited to see them be able to get involved.
Yeah, hopefully that they get that position the ball a little bit more than they have in the past. And then that brings us to what might be the strongest unit on the offensive side of the ball, the wide receivers, who I would put up against anybody, at least in the Big Ten, maybe even in the country. You have Simi Cobbs coming back off an ankle injury. He looks healthy and 100%. You saw in the highlights IU put out of the scrimmage on Saturday, he was making ridiculous one-handed catches in the back of the end zone. Nick Westbrook is another guy, another tall receiver. We saw what he could do last year. He has the speed to take off the top of the defense, and he has good hands to go across the middle and be a possession receiver as well. Luke Timian, I was talking to Matt Wheat. Yeah. And, Luke Timian's probably going to be that guy in the slot. I was talking to Matt Weaver about this today. Timian reminds me a lot of Andrew Means. Andrew Means played on that 07 Bolt team and in 08. And I believe he played in 06 too. But he's a baseball player, and he just caught everything. And that's what Luke Timian has shown, that big catch against Michigan State, the touchdown in the bowl game. Big catch at Maryland a couple years ago as well. He has the knack for making the big catch like Andrew Means did. Then he has some speed to get up the field as well. And then outside of those three, this receiving core is as deep as any. You have Jayshon Harris, looks like he's back to his 2014 form, and without losing much speed, which is absurd when you think about a guy coming off of two ACL surgeries on both knees, one on each knee, to have the speed that he had. And he had a really good 2014 season. And it's a shame that you didn't see him with Nate Sudfeld the rest of the year in that season. But he's a guy who might be your fastest receiver on the field. when he's healthy. He looks to be back. He's going to battle Timian for that slot spot. Donovan Hale has been a revelation this camp. He's a tremendous athlete. He probably could have played basketball. I think he had an offer to play basketball at Florida State. But he's another 6'3", 6'4", receiver with big body, physical guy who could, you know, go deep or be used in the shorter passing game. He gives you another big receiver there in your top five, so to speak. And then you have Taysier Mack, who I don't want to say a small receiver at 6'2", but he's, you know, he's, you know, a little smaller than the rest of them, but he's another bigger target who could give you some reps there. So you're talking about six guys right there. And then you have Wop coming back. He's been limited in camp. Ty Freifogel's another big back. This receiving corps is deep and as good as, you know, it might rival that 2013 receiving corps. It's definitely deeper than that receiving corps on that team. But those top three might be as good as those top three with Latimer, Hughes, and Deuce Wilson. But we'll see. They've got to play to their talents. Grant Hurd has high expectations for them, as we've heard in his interviews. But, you know, we'll see. That's where IU has the advantage on offense over these defenses. They have two guys who are 6'4", 6'5". You throw in Ian Thomas. Defenses, you can't guard that. Nobody has the Seattle Seahawks defense with these corners of unusual size from a couple years ago aren't – it's not going to be there. You know, teams, even the best teams, have maybe one guy who could physically match up with the Simi Cobbs or a Nick Westbrook or a Donovan Hale. Now that they'll have the athletes who could run with them, but in terms of, you know, bodying up, being able to jump with them and maybe, you know, catch the ball with them, IU has there's going to be a weak link somewhere between Ian Thomas and those three receivers that'll get Lego open. So it's very exciting to think about what this receiving corps could do.
Absolutely. Yeah, when we talked about Richard Lego having all the weapons to have a terrific senior year, the receiving corps is a huge part of that. And I think the ability to have Simi Cobbs and then Nick Westbrook, who this year will not be going against top corners, he'll usually be going against the number two guy instead of the top guy because Simi's going to draw that top guy usually. But I think if, you know, this personnel that Indiana has at wide receiver gives the coaching staff a lot of ability to get creative with the way you use these guys, you know, and I think the having Jayshon Harris healthy as an explosive element to the slot that Luke Timian, like you said, just incredibly reliable. And I think he can be a really, really good slot receiver. Jayshon Harris can add a, you know, there's going to be times when Indiana decides to line up five wide that, you know, you can put five starting caliber wide receivers out there, no doubt. And as you said, opposing defenses will not have the personnel to effectively defend that. Doesn't mean you'll score every time you go that way, and it doesn't mean that there won't be some times where you're frustrated on offense because you're still going to have to really execute, and there's some good defenses you're going to go up against. But I think more often than not, you'll be able to say, we have a good matchup that we really like, when you're out there on the field with this receiving corps. So, and when you have that as a quarterback, it's your job then to take advantage of it. So, I think it's the pieces are there for this to be a really, really strong passing game.
Yeah. And you know, it really does. And this offense, you know, they've been playing faster in practice than last year. And all those things. And they might not play that fast during the game all the time, but I think for practice, for the purposes of installing that offense, they want to go as fast as possible because if you could run this offense, snapping the ball every 13 to 15 seconds, you could run this offense snapping the ball every 20 seconds. And, you know, it's a trial by fire for these young guys. And, you know, it's the potential's there. Guys got to stay healthy. And if this line can live up to par, they don't have to be great. They just can't be
right.
Turnstile on the offensive line. This offense could be more like the 2015 and 2013 offenses than the 2016 offenses. And that's if the defense, and we'll talk about the defense later on in the week, if the defense can live up to the expectations that they have set and exceed those expectations, this team is going to be dangerous. And I feel really good about this team now, 2 weeks into fall camp. And I feel much better than I did a couple weeks ago before fall camp started. And normally I'm not that gung-ho on IU after seeing them a lot, but this I feel really good. And, you know, whether or not that means they're going to break through or get to another bowl game, who knows? You know, that's why you play the games. But I feel really strongly that this program is in a better spot right now than I thought they were coming out of media day when you had lost Kameon Patrick for the year and you didn't know what was going on with Brandon Knight, or you didn't know what you had at the running back position or the offensive line position, and you hadn't seen Richard Lego coming off that spring game where he struggled a little bit, kind of maybe a little bit worried, but you know, seeing him in practice, seeing, you know, talking with some of the guys who, you know, have seen him every day. We only get to see him three times a week, but talking to the guys who get to see him every day, you know, to back up my opinion, you know, really it makes you feel good. And I'm excited for this offense, and I'm excited to see this running game. And, you know, in 17 days, all I know is that if IU scores that first touchdown, that stadium might come down. Go ahead.
It's I'm very excited as well. I think all the pieces are there. The key for Lego is just going to be translating this improvement to the games. The key for the offensive line is going to be translating, you know, meshing together and translating their play as a unit to the games. The running backs, you know, they're going to have to translate the excitement, the positive momentum that we feel like they've generated here. You know, there's very little experience in that running back group. Only one guy has had more than 60 rushes in a season, and that was Tyler Natee last year as a situational back. The receiving core, I mean, those guys, for the most part, are proven, and that's why we're considering them one of the best groups in the country. But, you know, the tight ends, you're going to be utilized more. Now you got to step up and make it count. So the pieces are all there, but just like anything else, it only matters when that scoreboard comes on. So I think that if I'm betting on whether or not this offense, I won't put a number on it, but I'll say that resembles 2016 or resembles 2015. I'll say much closer to 2015 than 2016, largely based on the explosiveness that I think this year's team could have as opposed to last year's, which I don't think had that extra gear on it. So to say that we are excited is definitely an understatement.
Yeah, and to talk about the explosiveness, you know, people are worried about Mike DeBoard. He's an older guy, and I think it came with the stereotype of it's old guy football. You know, 3 yards of cloud of dust, you know, 5 yard passes. But you saw what he did at Tennessee, and Tennessee fans are crazy, and they're basically running him out of town. But his teams led the SEC or were in the top two or three of the SEC in fourth quarter scoring, which how many times have we seen an IU game come down to, you know, IU's winning in the third, you know, late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter, and they just can't get that last you know, those last few points to push that lead to two scores and really put it out of reach for the opponent. And I think, you know, they had some explosive plays last year, but it was boom or bust. And I think this year's offense is going to be much more consistent. They don't need to, you know, they don't need to have a 50-yard bomb every play. They don't need a 70-yard run, but I think you'll have a much more consistent offense where you won't be relying on those big plays to score. And then hopefully all the red zone, you know, they spent a lot of time practicing on the red zone, and hopefully that pays off. And if you could get out of the basement of the red zone and really get, you know, to that upper part of the middle pack, you're talking about a special season. You know, last year, Indiana averaged 25.7 points per game. If they do that, they're probably going to go 6-6 again. If they do better than that, you know, if they could push that to 30 points per game, maybe 31 or 32. In 2015, they averaged 36.5. So let's cut the difference and say it's 32 points per game. You're talking about you're having a good season, a really good season.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they have all the tools to do that. So final thoughts on the offense.
Well, I think we covered everything. You know, my concerns are just the slight inexperience on the offensive line combined with already an injury to Brandon Knight. You just never know what's going to happen with that unit, and I think it could not totally fall apart, but I think it could, you know, an injury to someone like Coy Cronk or an injury to someone, you know, long-term to like a Brandon Knight, that could be really damaging because I'm not sure Indiana right now has the ready personnel to step in and do anything about it. And then, you know, we would be honest if we didn't say we worry about this running back group's potential to stay healthy because we haven't really seen it from this group yet. So we really like the way they look right now, but we haven't seen it on the field yet. So that's my concern. But I really like the guys in this offense. I'm really rooting hard for Rich Lego because I know how hard he has worked. I'm really rooting hard for a guy like Jayshon Harris. I know how hard he's worked. And to be honest, I just really like this offensive staff. They seem like they have a lot of fun. The players love them. And I hope that, you know, look, Mike DeBoard, I know that his hire drew the ire of some fans, mainly because they looked Tennessee fans celebrating his departure. Well, Tennessee fans, you know, be careful what you wish for is all I'll say about that. And I really like Mike DeBoard's addition in Bloomington. I think it was a very smart hire by Tom Allen. And I hope it comes through on the field because he's a guy that I have a very easy time rooting for him and for this staff. Everything is feel good right now. I just hope it translates to the field. But my excitement level for this offense is certainly at a higher point than it was entering last year because I believe in the potential that this personnel has to get things done. And I will predict that they will average more than 30 points a game. I'm not sure what the number is going to be, but I feel pretty confident it's going to be over 30. And I'll stick my name on the podcast on here with that.
Yeah, I you know, it's we try not to drink the Kool-Aid, but it is the, you know, preseason. It's like opening day in baseball. Everybody's, you know, going to the World Series on opening day. And I just think, yeah, except the Reds. Sorry, Matt. So, you know, we'll see. But this offense, I feel a lot better about it than I did coming into fall camp. We'll see if it translates onto the field. We'll see if they could hold up against this Ohio State defense. And we'll get back on the air. Yeah, I mean, it's you cannot judge this offense based on their performance against Ohio State. Ohio State has one of the best, if not the best front sevens in the country. And there's no shame in if IU gets, you know, shut down on there. Now, we'll see, you know, you take the first four games and you'll see where we're at with the offense, but do not be too quick to judge based on Ohio State. It's the opening game. You're going against one of the top defenses in the country, and we'll see what they do. But I'm excited for the game. So excited for this game. With game day coming in, they have the I'm blanking on his name, but they're having the national anthem singer from the Blackhawks game come in to sing the national anthem. Game day is going to be it's going to be awesome. So anyway, we'll be back on Wednesday to talk about special teams and the defensive side of the ball. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging with us through all those technical difficulties. I'm glad we got that figured out and we could talk some IU football tonight. TJ, thanks for joining us. And, guys, we'll have all our positional previews starting tomorrow with the offensive line going out, HoosierHuddle.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have some big things coming up this season on YouTube. We don't want to do a spoiler, but we'll have some big things on game day via YouTube as well. So subscribe to that so you can watch our YouTube channel and keep the comments coming. We love talking to you fans. So, TJ, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Yeah, looking forward to the defense one. Everybody have a good couple days, and we'll be back with more.
Yep. All right. Thanks for listening to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Thanks for bearing with us through the storm a little bit. And we'll be back on Wednesday to talk about defense and special teams. Other than that, enjoy the rest of your evening. We are only 17 days away, exactly 17 days away from kickoff, as it is 8:00 here in Indianapolis.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.